Hey everyone, the Caleb G here from the RPG Academy, and you are about to witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational Redemption Podcast. Proud member of the RPG Academy Network.
This is Redemption, an actual play podcast set in the Star Wars role-playing game system with Chris Berlew as the GM and also the droid R3A1.
Well, can you do something with, like, the Force? Like, push us faster?
Kendall Jung as the Twi'lek former Padawan, Karel.
Your assassination has not been ordered, Tazi. Isn't that wonderful?
Michael Waldschlager II as the Duros pilot, Tazi.
Welcome back, and where the criff have you been?
And Nathan Robinson as the Nautilin gunner, K.O.
We'll get to the story. Don't worry. It's good. It's really great.
Special guests, Emily Morgan as Isla, and Quinn Wilson as Koshak. Episode 308, Moving Day. The crew have a whole rill mine in an ancient warrior monk complex to sell for money, and they've managed to pick one of the most dangerous women in the sector to sell it to. Now, closing the deal should be simple. Just pack up the claim and head towards hopefully a sunny, warm planet, right?
Tazi turns to Ferris, looks at the credit chips in his hand. Well, I think that went well.
Yes. She didn't order your assassination, so I think it went really well.
Assassination?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then it's a good thing things went well.
Yeah, I agree. If she didn't appreciate your negotiation skills, she would have just ordered your assassination.
How far away is she from here?
Probably just a few days. I didn't actually ask.
Oh, so your assassination has not been ordered, Tazi. Isn't that wonderful?
Yay for me, I guess.
I'm going to go check on Isla. I'll be back. And Karel, like, leaves the ship at this point.
Well, what would you like to do now?
Well, I guess, since Gilo's coming here, we should probably make preparations, right? We need to get all of our stuff out of the claim, get the ore out. I know we've been processing it outside, so that shouldn't be too big of a deal. Shouldn't be too much of a process. And we just need to make sure that we go. We should probably make one more walk through the ruins to make sure everything's in order. And to make sure that, you know, the area that may have been compromised is as well covered as possible. If I'm being clear enough.
Sure, we can do that.
Well, then let's go do that.
Okay. He gets off the ship because he's excited about this kind of stuff. Yeah, you guys go through the old temple and clear everything up. Put everything back in place. You put the statue back where it was. Get everything organized. And you can finish mining the ore.
So Karel and Isla are going to work the mine for the day and then start getting everything packed up. I'll take a load of ore in the speeder back to the ship on the end of day one. Coincidentally, sleep on the ship because it's more comfortable.
Okay.
And come back for everybody else on the second day. And then once I get it all loaded, I'll go looking for Tazi.
Tazi's asleep on the bunk in the bedroom in the area.
So Karel kind of pokes her head in. Is he wearing earphones?
No.
Okay, just checking. She kind of reaches over and just kind of shakes Tazi.
Hey, what? I'm awake.
I'm going to take the rest of the ore back into town. Did you want to come and do the sale with Koshak, or do you want me to do it?
Well, I mean, I
you're kind of our negotiator, so.
Well, I mean, there's no real negotiating to be had here. It's a flat 10% rate, so. I mean, if you want, you can go. Koshak will deal with you as much as he'll deal with me.
I'm fine either way. I mean, you kind of started the deal, so I thought you'd want to be in on the end. I can stay here with Isla and finish getting everything loaded in her trailer.
Tazi gets kind of a little bit of his eyes dart back and forth.
No, that's really a good idea. You should stay here and work with Isla and load everything on the trailer, and I will take everything to town.
Well, I mean,
I'm sorry I woke you up. You're very tired.
I should be here if Gilo comes. I'm just thinking that if Gilo gets here, I should be present.
Okay. Well, call me if that happens.
Okay.
And I will hurry back.
All right.
All right. So I'll go back out to the speeder and head into town.
Okay. You get into town.
Go to the ship, get the rest of the ore, and head over to the mercantile.
All right. Koshak's there, as busy and haggard as he normally looks.
Hello.
Hello again.
We have some ore to sell to you.
Okay.
And we are also letting you know that we are going to be selling our claim to a third party.
Okay.
Tazi will be in with that third party to do the paperwork, but we wanted to close out our business before they sign on.
All right. Very well.
So here's all the ore.
He takes it, takes his cut.
The ore is worth 5,000 minus the 10% for the mercantile. And here is your profit of 4,500 credits.
Okay, thank you. Do I talk to you about refueling our ship?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to need refueling. You can take it out of those credits.
I already subtracted the fuel and replenishment from your money.
Oh, okay, so this is what we have left.
Correct.
Well, it's a pleasure doing business with you, Mr. Wren.
Likewise, ma'am.
And Krell nods and heads out.
He goes back to all of his data pads and paperwork. And
then I'll drive back.
All right.
Get everybody else.
Krell rolls back up just as a little small one-person ship lands outside of the mine. And you see a Claudite step out. Obviously, she's not worried about you guys knowing that she's a Claudite.
Tazi comes out of the little structure, the door into the mountainside.
Hillside. You see a Claudite walking out in complete black pants, black shirt, flowing black cape, and a vibrosword on her left hip. And on the right hip is a nice heavy blaster.
And a very quiet aside to Tazi. Not dramatic much.
And she walks up, looks at Ferris. I am assuming you are the gentleman I am here to meet. Ferris, yeah. Ensign Tazi, this is Gila. Tazi, this is Gila Forto.
Pleasure to meet you.
And Tazi extends his hand.
She extends her hand. You notice that there are calluses on her hand. Definitely similar calluses to what you see on Corell's hands.
Thank you for coming here. We can show you, certainly. We can get right down to business. We can walk you through what we've got here. You can start making your assessments and making sure this is what you're looking for. Meets your expectations, I guess, is the best way to put it. We've cleared all of our gear out of the claim, except for like a couple small personal things. We've gotten all of our mining gear out. All
right, very well. And you guys go through, and she looks around at everything.
Before we go any further, let me introduce you to the rest of the people here. We got, I have Corell. She's our lead engineer.
Corell just nods.
She nods back.
And this little guy over here is our astromech droid and another one of our miners, A1.
He pops his little hand out and waves. She, of course, looks a little confused and just waves back.
Interesting. And another good engineer that we've met here on planet. This is Isla.
Isla just silently kind of nods and kind of steps behind Tazi because Gila's kind of an intimidating figure to her. She's not used to seeing people looking kind of regal with weapons like she's got on. And, you know, Gila's got kind of a little bit of an intimidating presence. You guys aren't real intimidated by people like this, but she's a little nervous.
Those are our introductions. We'll go ahead and get going. We don't want to waste any time.
Yeah, she smiles. It's a pleasure to meet you all. After you, sir.
Of course.
Corell's going to tail the group and follow behind.
Yeah, she walks with you. You guys go through and do an inspection of the
old Tazi temple. Tazi leads her into the main tunnel and then to the entrance way that we kind of accidentally bored into this cavern or this ruined area.
Yeah.
Here you can see where we broke through the wall and we kind of came into the space here. Feel free to walk around and check out the different rooms, the layout. We have a really basic map that we put together based on what we could see. A1 kind of took notes as we were coming through here. And so A1, if you can project that map up.
Sure. And he projects his map up. And she's nodding as you go. She's got both her hands behind her back, you know, clasped together. And as soon as you guys step in and she sees all that writing kind of glowing, you notice her eyes kind of get a little big. And she goes over and puts her hand on it, and you can see her tracing her finger along it. It's very obvious to you that she can read this. You guys couldn't, but she can read it.
I see you've seen the writing. Can you read what that says? We tried to translate, but we couldn't find a good keystone to go from.
She smiles. Yes, I can. And then she turns and starts walking down the hallway.
Okay.
And that's when Ferris says, it's in their language.
No, I figured that, but no, that's fine. We don't need to know what it says. We're not going to be here very long anyway. So anyway.
Yeah. You guys go through a tour. She looks at everything. You notice that she doesn't show a whole lot of emotion as she's going through. She doesn't react to a lot of the stuff there. When she gets to the tomb, that's where she kind of slows down and kind of goes around and inspects the tomb really well. And you can tell that she notices that it's been opened. I assume nothing in here was disturbed.
Oh, of course not. We did.
The sarcophagus was cracked open, but once we saw what was inside, it was immediately closed.
Yeah, we opened it up. We opened it. We saw what was inside, and I felt bad. I felt guilty for opening it up. It was my decision. I chose to open it, not knowing what was inside. And once we saw it, we immediately closed it back up. We realized it had to have been sacred to somebody.
The only item that has been removed is the statue you saw in the earlier training room, which obviously has been replaced. It was simply brought out to show Ferris the validity of the find.
I could tell that it was moved. The dust around it had been disturbed.
Yes, well, I'm just simply using that as an example. Nothing else was taken out of this building.
And I mean, and we did disturb a lot of dust in here. I mean, like, there's a lot of dust.
That is acceptable.
Very good.
And then she hands you a bag of credits.
Okay, well, this is great. I appreciate the second half of the payment, but if you're taking over the claim, we do have to go to the settlement and transfer the claim.
I let Koshek know that you guys did. Would be coming.
You did. Okay, good, good. We do have to transfer the claim with the local government.
She smiles. The mercantile, yes.
Yes.
That will be fine. I assumed there would be some paperwork involved.
Correct. I mean, I'd love to be able to do this here, but we do have to take care of that at the mercantile. So if you have no objections, we can go to the mercantile and finish our business.
Very well. After you.
And while you're doing that, we will get the rest of our things from the claim and meet you back in town.
Fantastic. Is there room in your ship for two?
Yes.
All right. I'll simply ride with you and I'll meet my crew back in town.
Okay. You get on her ship, and it's a very nice ship. It's a small ship.
It's a very expensive, like, single person.
Correct. Yeah, nice luxuries on there.
What make a ship is it?
It's an older ship, so could you roll maybe knowledge lore?
3 greens. What difficulty?
Just make it average. Make it 2, please.
2 perps. 3 greens. Let's see what I got. That is a wash. Actually, I have 1 threat. So, what make a ship is this? This is really nice.
This is an older Pathfinder scout ship that I have some fond attachment to. And as you can see, I've added some modern upgrades to it. It has a modern hyperdrive and much more comfortable amenities.
This is beautiful. You take very good care of the ship.
Thank you. Tazi and Gila, you guys fly back. Make a average perception check, Tazi. So just a 2, please.
Wow, 1 success and 3 advantages.
Okay. As you're landing in town, you notice a fire spray ship landing next to the Crawlet's Fang. And you had 3 advantages?
Mm-hmm.
You recognize the guy standing behind the pilot. And when I say guy, the droid standing behind the pilot. It's your favorite HK droid. Correct.
Tazi tries not to show that he's very tense at the moment.
Said you land, and Gila's like, well, I believe the mercantile is down the street.
That's correct. We'll go that way. I'm sure the crew will be here soon. Go ahead if you want to go ahead. I'll be right behind you.
Very well.
I have to check something in my ship very briefly. I'll be with you in a minute.
Very well.
And as he's walking to the Crowlet thing, Tazi pops on his comm and just briefly is like, Hicks is here. Hicks had just parked next to the Crowlet's Fang. Hicks is here with somebody else.
Faster.
We're coming back as fast as we can. Load of mining equipment. Hide.
I can't really hide.
Wait, wasn't? See if KO's there. Hicks. He went off with Hicksa.
I don't see KO offhand.
Well, then hide.
I'm going to the mercantile. I've got to go back there with Gilo. I'm just letting you know Hicksa is here.
Okay, but go while hiding. Go stealthily. We're on our way.
And Tazi will kind of look at a distance at the Kralitz Fang and see if Hicks is moving, and then go back, like head back toward the mercantile. Unfortunately, this is not good timing for this to happen. So, mm-hmm.
You know he's not in the cockpit anymore, so obviously he's doing something on his ship.
Tazi kind of trots up like quickly behind Gilo.
Mm-hmm. She's walking at just a moderate pace. She's not moving real quick.
Sorry about that. Everything's fine at the ship. We'll go ahead and get this taken care of, and we'll get you off planet as soon as we can.
Very well.
Well, I guess not off planet. You feel free to stay at the claim. I mean, it's going to be yours here shortly.
She smiles at you. She's obviously identified that you're a little nervous, and she's, it's fine. The sooner we get this done, the sooner you can continue where you need to go.
Great. We're both thinking the same thing. Hey. After, let me get the door. Let me get the door for you.
Oh, Well, thank you.
Tazi pushes the door to the mercantile open.
Yep. And you open it up, and there's Koshek, as usual, looking tired, haggard. He looks up, and you notice right away, as soon as he sees her, he kind of snaps up a little straighter.
Yeah. Come in, Captain. How can I help you?
Oh, hey, Koshek. I think Corell was in earlier. We are going to be doing a transfer on the claim, actually. We've sold the claim to this fine young woman here.
He bows his head very respectfully. And
it's a pleasure to do business with you, ma'am.
Pardon me, Koshek. I'm being rude. Koshek Ren, this is Gilo Forta. She's going to be the purchaser of the new claim.
She says, a pleasure to meet you, sir. And she reaches out and shakes his hand. And he says,
I have the paperwork already set up for the claim, but I will need to know what the purchase price was.
Oh, the purchase price, that was 1,000 credits.
All right, Tazi, make your deception check. Your difficulty is going to be a red, 2 purples, and a black die, because you're a little nervous with the new ship that's landed.
Tazi has the skill Convincing Demeanor, which allows him to remove 1 black die. Oh. Per rank, so I will simply take the red and 2 purples. That is a triumph. So I have a triumph and 1 additional success and 1 threat.
Okay. The threat, you said you're nervous with what's going on outside. Gila's right here. I take a point of strain damage for the threat, just because that's pretty rough right now with what's all going on in your head.
Got it.
Triumph. She doesn't show any reaction whatsoever, which definitely helps you. And he is very distracted looking at her.
I will just need the typical 10% mercantile fee.
Oh, certainly, certainly.
And you hand him 100 credits, I assume.
Of course.
Finishes filling out the paperwork and hands you the data pad to sign, and you sign it, and Gila signs it.
It's a pleasure doing business with you both. Hopefully we can continue to do business in the future.
I don't see that as being a problem. I don't know that there's any ore left on the claim, but I'm sure Gila has her own things she's going to want to do on the site.
She smiles. I do have plans. And she looks right at Koshek. I will absolutely keep you involved, sir. I honor and respect all of your rules and regulations. And he kind of looks a little nervous.
Thank you?
Gila looks over at Tazi and says, I believe our business is concluded. Thank you for your efforts. And she nods at both Tazi and Koshek and turns and walks out. Koshek just kind of looks at you.
I'm not used to seeing people of that level of wealth here.
Well, if you're lucky, she's going to bring a lot more of them. Did Corell mention what we found on the site?
No. Should I know?
Yeah. So you know we found the real core. Corell brought that in to sell to you earlier. But we also found an ancient Mabari ruin. I believe it's the correct pronunciation. It's basically a sect of her race, and she was extremely interested in obtaining rights to the ruin. We checked it out. We didn't really find anything of value per se there, but, I mean, there's a cultural value.
He holds his hand out.
Sometimes there are things that happen here that I do not want to know about.
Got it.
I appreciate your information, but I feel that this is one of those moments.
Okay, so let's just say the last minute didn't happen. It was great meeting you, Koshek, and if we ever decide we want to mine more real core, we know where to come.
Koshek looks at you and says,
It's been a pleasure doing business with you. I wish you the best, Captain.
Thank you, sir.
I'm assuming Tazi's heading back to the ship.
As soon as he's done with Koshek, he makes haste out of the mercantile and heads back toward the Corell. It's fine.
Okay. And we'll cut over to Corell and A1 on the speeder. Drive faster.
We're 15 minutes out. We're hurrying.
All right. We just want to get there quick.
Well, you could fly, not as fast as the speeder, but if you want to feel like you're moving, go ahead. Maybe latch yourself on and use your booster as a boost.
That's not going to help, can't you?
You're the one in hurry!
Well, can't you do something with, like, the force? Like, push us faster?
No.
Pull us faster?
No.
All right. But, I mean, Hicks is here. That means either KO's back or he's dead.
Well, I hope KO's back because I'm going to kill him. Not literally, A1. We need to work on your joke subroutine.
Just then, your comms kick back on.
See, there's Tazi.
Hey, Tazi, guys,
what's up?
Guys, where are you? I'm just leaving the mercantile.
We're 15 minutes out. You realize it took almost an hour and a half to get out here normally, and we're hauling a half ton of mining equipment here.
And Corell won't use the force to make it go faster.
You can't.
I don't think she can do that, buddy. I don't think the force works like that.
Thanks. I appreciate you.
I don't know much about it. Anyway, I'm headed back to the ship right now, so if you guys could get here and back me up, I would appreciate it.
We're 12 minutes out now.
Did you find him?
Find who?
Who?
Hixa or Kale?
I've seen Hixa. I'm headed back to the ship. I'm assuming he's going to be nearby because he parked right next to us. As we were coming to the Mercantile, his ship, one of those skid rays sprays. Or fire spray, is
fire
that what it is?
Spray, yes.
No, his fire spray.
For a pilot, you don't know ships very well, do you?
I know mine, and that's all that matters.
I mean, technically, he just has to fly him. He doesn't have to know him.
Anyway, we're 11 minutes out now. All right, I'm headed back to the ship. Just get here as soon as you can.
Hide.
All right.
I will do my best. I'm a pretty tall, pretty dark Duros. There's not a lot of them here. You know, I don't blend in well.
Find a wig. Pretend you're Isla.
And, yeah, jump behind a tree. Oh, wait. 10 minutes out.
Why is he always hanging up on us?
I don't know.
We're now 9 minutes out. We're hurrying.
Okay. And we cut back over to Tazi.
Tazi leaves the Mercantile, and as he gets off his comm, decides he's going to try and take a little bit of a sneaky approach to get back to the ship. He's not just going to strut across the road. So he kind of tries to watch if there's any traffic. I know it's not the busiest of places. And he's going to try and move kind of across the road in a non-distinctive way. He's going to try and like take cover behind other vehicles or things that come up in his way.
Say stealthy and discreet at the same time. You get up to where you can see the Kralitz Fang really well, and the boarding ramp is lowered down, which is odd because you remember leaving it up.
Tazi raised it and locked it, so Tazi gets back on the comm. Guys,
5 minutes.
I'm at the ship. The ramp is down. They must be on board.
You can't take him on your own.
I know I can't take him on my own. That's why I'm calming you.
Well, 5 minutes.
Drive faster.
You get a call back on your comm.
Are you here yet?
5 minutes.
Kark.
Tazi looks around for any security.
They didn't really have a lot of security.
I didn't think so. No, he didn't notice any security.
Well, Criff, it's going to have one way or the other. Here we go.
Tazi marches over the crowd's fang and goes up the gangplank.
Okay. I'm assuming you're trying to stealth your way on?
Nope.
Oh, just marching
it's
right
my
on.
My ship.
Okay. You march right on, and when you first get on, you don't notice anything.
So, and Tazi kind of gets on the ship. He turns to the panel next to the gangplank and gets on the shipwide comm.
So, KO, if you're here, I'd suggest coming out. And Hixa, if you're here, I'd suggest coming out too. We might not waste any time.
So, from around the corner where the cockpit would be, a Nautilin would come out who looks familiar to a point, but a little worse for the wear. A little dingy. He's not wearing the armor that he normally wears. It's more of a sleeker, tighter-fitting outfit. All black. And all of his tentacles are pulled back into a tight braid. And one thing you'll also notice is that from the knee down, he has a metal prosthetic.
Kale, what happened?
What part of... You mean the hair? The tentacle thing? Yeah. That gets in my way.
Not so much that up there, but that down there. What happened?
Well, I didn't get back in the pod.
Your leg.
Oh, it's not a thing. It's a...
No, that's definitely a thing. That's not your original leg that you left the ship with.
No, that's true. I didn't like it. Yeah. Got a new one.
Welcome back, and where the Criff have you been?
Oh, that is a story.
Well, we can wait until the rest of the crew gets here, but where's Hixa?
That's a good question, too. He let me go, but he does owe me money. Hold on one second. Kale would exit and go down the ramp and look to see if Hixa's ship's still here.
It is.
All right, Kale goes to Hixa's ship.
Tazi follows Kale. Again, hand on his Dragon Eye pistol.
Kale knocks on the... on the ramp.
It opens up.
KO walks on board because he can.
Yeah.
Tazi follows.
Yeah, you get on board. And
just as they go on board, the camera sees the speeder off in the distance come tearing around a corner. The trailer carrying all the mining equipment like knocks over a trader's stall, and Carol comes slamming to a stop next to the ship. She gets out. Doesn't see Tazi anywhere, grabs her blaster, and runs inside the ship.
He just looks at Isla. I guess maybe you could take the speeder back to your shop and get ready to leave. She just nods yes. And then he jumps out, tears off towards the Growlithe's Fang.
All right, cut back over to you guys.
So, Hixa, my wonderful, wonderful tin can friend. You owe me a couple things, right? Number one, I need proof that that our dealings are done for good, forever, all time. It's every moment that I'm alive that you don't try to kill me. That's mostly it. And then, other than that, we can then also talk about how you actually owe me money. A couple things. Mainly for the leg, but, you know, the other part too, you know.
Wait, did he take your leg?
No, he didn't. He personally did not take my leg. It was... So, we'll get to the story. Don't worry. We'll be good. It's good. It's really great. It's fantastic. Anyway, money. Yeah. And promises slash also, I need the writ from Prince Shizor as well. So that I can use that against anybody who comes after me later. Because, you know, they will.
He tosses a datapad to you.
KO opens it up.
It's the statement from Shizor that the bounty has been lifted off of KO's head and KO is no longer in debt to the Black Sun.
Got it.
And then Hixa just looks at you.
I believe our business is concluded. I believe you have other issues that are arriving.
Oh, yeah, I know. Thanks. All right, goodbye.
KO turns around, looks at Tazi.
Tazi, we should probably go get on the Krat's Fang, like, immediately.
Wait, why? What's going on? Wait.
How long do we have?
Probably long enough to get your ship spooled up, but depending upon how fast they choose to get here.
Fine, whatever. He kind of
starts pushing Tazi down.
Pushing
the ramp.
Tazi lightly. Let's go.
Wait, what? Come on.
Go.
Where?
Get to the ship. Can we leave?
Yes, we can leave.
Is leaving a thing we can do?
We're waiting for Corellon A1.
So what you see, like, from the...
He says that, we actually come down the ramp.
But all you see is, like, KO shoving him, like, backwards out the door of Hix's ship.
And when
there they are!
When Tazi sees Corellon A1, Tazi's just yelling, back up the ramp! Back up the ramp!
What?
A1 just flies straight at KO and basically just thumps himself right into KO.
Good lord, what the... All right, let's go. Go.
KO, welcome back, but what happened?
Would you just get on the ship and we're leaving?
What
we
has happened to you?
Now.
We have to leave
now.
We can't. Isla just took the speeder.
Who's Isla?
She's our new passenger.
What are you doing?
What happened to you?
Get on the ship, please.
I can get on the ship, but we can't leave yet.
Yeah, we have to get Tazi's girlfriend.
And fuel.
Wait, Tazi,
she's
have a girlfriend.
Not my girlfriend.
Yes. Well, she could be. Yes, it's actually really cute.
No, she is a passenger. We made a deal with her. Everybody on the ship now.
That's right. See? He knows what's happening. Get on the ship.
All right, everybody make average perception check.
One success and an advantage.
A complete and utter wash.
One success, two advantages.
Everybody that succeeded notices there are 13 speeder bikes heading this way at rapid pace. And you can see the snow kind of being pushed up behind them. And you know you don't have time to get the ship completely spooled up and take off before they're going to be here.
I'll give you some time.
What did you do?
Tozzy, spool up the ship. And
we can't go anywhere. We don't have fuel.
So KO drops down and quickly runs over to where some of his belongings have been, because he had moved stuff from Hixer's ship onto mm-hmm. that. And that's another large case similar to the ones that you guys found. And he brings it over, and he opens it up and quickly attaches a sniper rifle together. It's very large and very beautiful and shiny. And he lays down and pops the kickstand out and lays down and begins to take shots out at the gentleman's coming in.
Okay, let's roll initiative first.
Yes.
We will roll our cool because we are aware of the situation.
Oh, that's fair.
Okay. No, KO, you don't have to because I'm going to say that you're the top. How's that?
5.1.
Damn it.
All right, so they're riding up, so KO, go ahead and fire away.
Does anyone know who these people are?
I do.
Who are they?
Bad people.
Why are they here?
Because they need to die.
As you pull the rifle up and you're looking through the scope, you notice that there's, in the middle, a Deveronian, who you can tell is obviously the one giving commands. And he is dressed long, brown duster,
mm-hmm.
He's got all like kind of a reinforced leather coat on, high, tall leather boots that go up to his knees. And then the rest of them are a mix of Rhodians, some Deveronians, and they're basically in groups of four as they're riding up.
Okay.
So you have three groups of four and then the Deveronian in the middle.
I'm going to shoot at the Deveronian in the middle.
Okay.
Does he have any defense?
Defense of one.
Okay.
Now you shoot the Deveronian in the face.
Okay.
So what's your total damage then?
11.
Okay. All right. So you fire and you hit him pretty good. Next PC.
Tazi actually is going to run back down the ramp, trying to go get Isla. He's going to yell back up the ramp, "Lift the ramp, get on the guns. I'm going to get Isla."
Okay.
Tazi's heading toward the edge of the spaceport to try and get Isla and get her back to the ship quicker.
Okay. So you're going to run down there, basically, I'm assuming, kick the door open.
Yeah, I'm taking my full turn action to cross the spaceport to get to her place.
Okay. So you're there, you kick the door open. It is their turn because they rolled better than Corral and 8-1. So everybody else except Tazi notices right after KO shot, they begin to scatter because they were clumped together. They scatter and they're all coming in from different directions. And they are basically taking their entire round to kick their speeders in, and they're going to go from long range up to short range. As Tazi's running down the road, a couple of them pass you. That Deveronian stops and he looks right at you and smiles. And as he's getting off of his speeder, simply says, "I finally found the man who killed my brother." And that is all of their movements because they had to do all their actions basically to kick it up. So next PC.
Corral runs back into the ship, drops on the KO's gunnery pod, and probably I gotta bring it up online, so that'll be two maneuvers instead of my action.
All right. A1 just, they moved up to short range. He pops out his holdout blaster. He is going to aim at one of the groups of three because they're the ones that are surrounding the ship. And he's going to take an aim maneuver, which doesn't actually help him a ton. A1 pulls out his little holdout blaster, fires off several shots, and hits him in the leg and the arm. And the guy kind of screams. And A1 says, "I'm with you, KO."
"Thanks, little buddy."
And we're back to the top. PC1.
All right, so they're now short range to me?
Yeah. They're all getting off of their speeders and or pulling out blasters. They've got heavy blaster pistols.
KO is going to go ahead and stand up, and he is going to, in his left hand, he's going to pull out a vibro dagger, and in his right hand, he's going to level a heavy blaster pistol, and he's going to basically try to give Tazi some time, so he's going to keep shooting at the Deveronian.
Okay. The Deveronian, I should have explained this, I apologize. He stopped earlier, so he's at medium range.
Medium range, that's fine.
Which isn't that much more horrible for you.
Nope. I'm going to use True Aim as well to make sure that I can... I pulled out my blaster, and I try to aim down and aim at the Deveronian that is dealing with Tazi, but the shot goes wide. one of the other last guys on their speeders... actually revs the engine, and it shoots a bunch of dust in front of me, and I can't really get a good shot off. So, all
right, next PC.
That'd be Tazi. Like, literally, Tazi, like, that guy's like, "I finally found you, the guy that kills my brother." And then I hear, from a distance, you hear, and Tazi feels this breeze come by his head. And Tazi just looks at the guy and is like, "I don't have time for this." And he quick draws his pistol, and with a bit of a flourish, as he quick draws, the pistol rotates as it's coming up. I'm going to flip a light side for this just because it's cool.
Okay.
The dragon eye twirls twice in his long fingers as he's pulling it up to and straightens his arm in front of him, and he cracks off a shot at the Deveronian.
Okay. So you're at short range, so just one, and he has a defensive one, so one black die.
Two advantages.
Okay.
Tazi's fancy move actually fouled his shot, and as he pulls the blaster up, he doesn't have a hold of the grip all the way, so he actually pulls the trigger, but the pistol actually spins in his hand. I'd like to spend my advantages to give the Deveronian a black die as I got close.
Okay, excellent. And luckily for Tazi, it's his turn. So he pulls his blaster out, and he's going to fire at you. Do you have any range defense? I don't remember.
I do.
Okay.
One.
Just one. Awesome. All right. He... reaches down, pulls out his blaster, and points it right at you, squeezes the trigger one time, and it hits Tazi pretty hard, right in the shoulder for 11 points, minus your soak. And he had two threats left over, so on his next... Well, I'll leave it up to you. Do you want to boost die on your next move, or do you want him to take a black die on his next?
He had two threats?
Yeah.
Dealer's choice.
I'll give you a blue die. I think he's arrogant enough that he's not trying to get out of the way. There's another group of four that's aiming at KO, because they have, like I said, moved up. Interesting. They all pull out their heavy blasters.
Did you have a black die for my ranged defense?
Yes. So four of them get off of their bikes. They kind of walk forward. Two Rodians and two Trandoshans. They pull out their heavy blaster pistols and fire at you. And you're kind of ducking and dodging and weaving. And your next difficulty will be upgraded. They rolled a triumph, but they failed.
Oh, gotcha.
So your next difficulty to shoot will be upgraded because you're ducking and dodging and all of your motions are just kind of throwing you off balance. Sure. One of the other groups fires at A1. They do hit A1. He takes 8. And Corell, you're in the ship, correct?
Correct.
Now, you just ran on the ship, right? It went straight into the gunnery pod?
I was on the ship when they were at the top of the ramp when they came in. I ran into the gunnery pod and then powered it up.
Okay. The other group, the last four, are going to fire at KO as well because you have the big gun.
I have a blaster rifle, but...
Yeah.
You had the big gun. I did.
So the last four pull out their blasters. They're still on their speeders. So you get hit for 8 points.
Okay.
Minus your soak. All right, next PC.
That would be Corell.
Okay.
So those blaster bolts, you know, spray across KO, and then KO can hear from the ship the sound of the pod rotating, and the new heavy laser cannon lines up shots on the group that just fired that are still on their bikes, and lets loose with a couple blaster bolts. Yeah, 2 successes and 2 advantages, so that's going to be a critical hit and 8 points of ship damage.
Yeah,
so that's 80
take
points.
Out a group.
So basically there's the blasters play across, there's the speeders explode, bodies go flying everywhere, and one group is gone.
Okay,
that's new.
A1's the last one to go. He still has his holdout blaster out, and he is rolled up next to KO because he's trying to bravely stand next to you and help as much as he can. And he fires wildly at one of the groups, and that group is the group that got off of their speeders that are walking towards you, and they all kind of scatter and bump into each other, so you get a blue die when you get to shoot at them because he ended up with 2 net advantages but can't hit them. So we're back at the top.
Since Tazi seems to be now handling his business and Corell has thankfully removed one of the groups, KO is going to turn his attention to the other unfortunate group of people that are attacking him. So upgraded difficulty, so they're at close range.
Yes, you're going to be at
2 purples?
No, you're just going to be at 1 red.
1 red, right.
And these are minions, so they don't have a defense rating. And the blue die from A1.
And then I'm going to use true aim as well. Yeah! I have 1 success, that is a triumph, and 4 advantages. That is also a critical and a triumph at the same time.
All right, so let's do the math part first. So what is your total damage?
8. As I'm shooting, they're growing. KO's growing more and more irritated, and he looks over at A1 kind of randomly blastering, firing around. He looks at him. He gives him a pseudo thumbs up with his thumb kind of off the knife. And he's like, good job, little buddy. All right. This is how you usually aim. And he shoots at one of the speeders. And he kind of could see as he was going, like there was a little bit of sparking going on anyway from all of their tearing around and getting around. And it actually explodes on the one. Which leads that one to fly into the other, which leads that to fly into the other, and they both careen off the spaceport. So there's one guy on his speeder left.
A1 looks over at you. Good job, big buddy.
Thanks.
Next PC.
You hear a little bit of a as the pod shifts a little bit, and then just another
few. Okay, hold on. I'm going to flip a dark side point over to a light side. Upgrade your difficulty.
2 advantages. So the basically the bolts kind of spat all around them, digging up pieces of the spaceport and blasting it into their eyes. So that group will get a black die on their next attack.
Okay. One single guy that's left, KO, that you were fighting, he jumps on his speeder and just turns and he's out of here.
Loser.
So the four that are there, they just saw the ship gun shooting at them. So they're going to fire at the gunnery pod since it's a clear
good
dome.
Luck with that. Still armored.
And they fire. And they do manage to hit. And they had a triumph. So let's roll this critical and see. Okay. So they hit the gunnery pod. Because like I said, they see the clear dome. And they hit it. And somehow they damage the mechanics of it. So the pod is currently spinning in a circle. And you will have to take 2 black dice on anything you do until the end of your next turn.
Okay.
And then the last guy that's still standing in front of Tazi, he is still firing at you. He hits a nice little pattern around you, but does not manage to hit you. But that's causing enough of a distraction that it's going to make it a little more difficult for you for your next shot. So next PC.
That would be Tazi.
Yep.
The last shot caused Tazi to like drop down to a knee. He took a pretty hard shot in the chest. His flight suit is nearly ruined, and there is a sizable amount of golden drink shooting out of a busted hose that's hanging off the front of the suit. Tazi does a roll to the side toward Isla's building, trying to get behind some cover on the street, and then we'll take another shot with his blaster.
So you're going to have a black die for his defense, and then a black die for his last shooting, and then you're at short range, so 1.
Triumph and 1 success.
All right. Would you like to do a critical hit with that triumph?
Yes. I think I would.
Roll your percentile dice, please.
19. Crap.
Okay.
So Tazi rolls up behind a couple of storage boxes that are alongside the road, and he leans out from behind the boxes and kind of takes a flash shot, but the shot that he takes actually ignites a hose on the speeder, and the speeder careens right, knocking into the Deveronian and kind of taking him off his feet.
Okay, that'll work. So what was your damage?
The explosion would have been 13 points.
Okay. The speeder explodes. It kind of throws him off to the side, and I'm going to flip one of these dark to lights. You hear very clearly. I mean, he hits the ground hard. He pulls out a comm. Call in the ships. Destroy the town. And then he goes, eyes closed, and he goes unconscious, bleeding quite profusely. And that was your turn. A1's turn. He's going to try to fire at the group that is left. Let's see how good he does. KO gets another boost die.
Yeah!
A1's the king of advantages, but can't hit. So back to the top. So there is 4 that are in front of you that are firing currently at the gunnery pod.
The gunnery pod's doing this like 180 just, or 360 just kind of... Not so fast that it makes her want to hurl, but it's definitely causing her to rethink her aiming strategy. And just as she kind of lines up the next shot, the pod takes a jerk and past the group of 4, and she sees the one guy like zooming away on his speeder and kind of just sits there, takes a moment to aim, which gives me a blue die, and then takes a shot at the guy running away on the speeder. And yes, I hit him and critically hit him. There's a couple laser blasts and his entire vehicle and him just disintegrates.
Into a
yeah, I did eight
puff
point,
of smoke.
8 points of ship damage plus a critical hit.
Yep.
And then you see Corell in the pod like slamming her hand against one of the mechanisms as it slowly stops revolving.
Okay.
I'm going to try to shoot them again.
And add your blue die for A1's awesome distractions.
And they're close.
Yeah, so it's just 1.
Three advantages. So they have black dies.
And then a blue die to whoever goes next.
Yeah, I got them all. All
right, it's their turn to shoot back. And since you just fired at them, they're going to fire back at KO.
That's fine.
They hit.
Oh, this is new.
So the damage is 8 minus your soak. I did roll a triumph.
Nothing.
I did roll a triumph, so they get the critical.
Uh-huh.
And they fire, and they hit that right where your new leg is. And it hurts because it's new. So your next check, it says increase the difficulty by one.
All right.
Next PC. Let's see if he can give KO another set of another blue die.
Woo!
No, he hits. A1 pulls out his holdout blaster and fires and hits one of them. Just nicks his arm, nicks their arm. Tazi, what would you like to do?
Seeing the Devronian kind of keel over in the street, Tazi turns back around and kind of almost as hard as he can shoulders into Isla's door.
Okay. It pops open, and she's kind of hiding behind some equipment because she can hear all the fighting and the blasters.
Tazi stumbles on his way in but keeps his feet.
Okay.
And stands up. He's got his pistol in his hand. His chest is, you know, charred and broken. Get your things. We have to go now.
Okay. Is it safe?
No time. Let's go.
She starts packing stuff up. Next PC.
After Krell bangs on it a few more times, the pod stops and rotates back to line up with the four people that are still there, including the one who has been nicked.
Yeah.
And she takes a second to aim and then fires. Which, again, it's hard to hit people with a ship cannon. So there's blaster bolts all over the place, and there's shrapnel that gets in their, you know, flies around, dust gets in their eyes. They get a black die, and the next person to act gets a blue die.
Yeah. Okay. Next PC.
That's me! I'm also going to true aim as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting real concentrated now.
Don't worry about it.
One success and two advantages.
Okay. Start with the damage.
Eight. He just basically just starts.
Yeah, you fire and you take one of them out.
Awesome.
And it's their turn. The other three say, "We're not getting paid enough for this." Jump on their speeders and they're trying to bug out. So the next PC, anyone's going to try to shoot at him as they're leaving. They moved up to medium, so he's a little more difficult to hit. Which he's been doing so well. A wash. A1 washed. So, Tazi, would you like to do? You're just helping Isla pack, or are you doing something different?
As she's packing, Tazi runs back. He's going to run back across the street, double his movement.
Okay.
So this will be his action for the round, but he's going to also kind of like do his best to kick in the door to the mercantile.
Okay. Tazi, please make a perception check, difficulty 2.
Two successes and one threat.
Okay. As you're running, you see four starfighters within the end of the next round. They'll be here. So they look like the Naboo starfighters. Top of the order.
I will take a shot at the fleeing group. They're at medium range, which is technically still short range for a ship weapon. Yeah, I blow the hell out of them.
Okay.
They take 10 points of damage. Right. Ship damage. So the cannon barks again, and the remaining group, as they're flying away, just gets blasted into atoms.
All right.
Carell hops on her comm immediately to everybody. It's like, do you see any more?
We got four starfighters inbound. I've got Isla. I'm on my way back. I'm just trying to warn Koshak before I come back to the ship.
Kirk.
The Devronian that I dropped in the middle of the street said called in more ships on a comm before he went.
If we go up in the air, we're not going to get anywhere without fuel, though.
Buy us time. It's all we can do.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay. So you're spooling up the engines?
I get up, run into the cockpit, and yeah, start up the engine.
Okay.
I'm going to spend one of these light side points.
Okay.
And when Carell powers up the engine, she actually notices the fuel moves just a little bit more. She had asked Koshak to fuel the ship. Somebody had actually started fueling, but it's got almost nothing in it.
Okay.
But enough to fly,
mm-hmm.
but not very far. KO, the umbilicals are attached. We need to disconnect them before we can get out of here.
Oh, okay.
So KO begins to scramble to try to unattach these umbilicals.
Okay. So you're over there working on the umbilicals.
Yeah.
And at the same time, A1's like bumping into you and rummaging through your pocket. And then
what are you doing? I'm trying to deal with this umbilical cord. What do you want?
You're bleeding. I got it. He pulls out a stim pack and hits you with it, even though you probably don't need it.
All right. Thank you.
Got it.
Works on removing the umbilical. Yeah, he's got one of three done now.
Turn it the other way.
No!
It's quicker.
No! Go,
hurry up. I got your back. He's got his little holdout. He's kind of scanning the area.
Will you
hang around and get it done.
It's not like they've ever done this before. I'm normally inside the pod.
Well, that's where we need you. Just unhook it and get in here.
All right.
Wipe back over to Tazi.
You kick that door open, and you see Koshak heading right out the back door with a blaster carbine in his hand. And he shuts the door, and you can tell he also had a backpack in his other hand that had all of his data pads in it. So he's heading out the back door, heading a different direction.
Seeing Koshak go out the back, Tazi scans the mercantile quickly for a stim pack, sees one on a shelf over off to the side, runs up to it, grabs the stim pack, thinks for a second, and then like tosses a credit chip in the place of the stim pack and slaps it, that stim pack, directly on his chest and runs back out the door over to try and catch up with Isla.
Okay. She's panicking. I mean, she's a mechanic on a little backwoods. This is nothing she's experienced before. Nobody's ever attacked this little town because there's really not much to it. So she's kind of looking around all kind of confused.
Is she still in her abode or is she out in the street?
She's out in her street, but she's trying to drag a tool kit with her and clothes because you said grab your stuff, we're leaving. So she's trying to grab what she thinks is important, but she doesn't understand the concept of getting out quickly.
Tazi sees her kind of, you know, stuck standing, panicking in the street. He runs up and sees that she's got a bag of clothes and her tools and quickly looks at her and says, which is more important, clothes or tools?
My tools. It's how I make my living.
Tazi grabs the tools. I'm sure they're probably a little heavy for him.
Yeah.
And with his other hand, grabs her hand and just starts booking as fast as he can toward the Krautzwing. And Tazi's going to take 2 points of strain because this is difficult for him.
All right. I'll cut back over to the ship. A1. All right. Empilicals. Now what? I guess we get in the ship.
Get on the ship, yeah.
All right. A1 rolls up into the cockpit, plugs into his...
Are you guys Han? Both of you?
I'm climbing into the gunnery bay.
All right. I remotely close the ramp and launch.
And A1 looks at you. Yep, he's in the pod this time.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Get on the rear gun.
Tazi sees the ship lifting off the pad as he's running toward it and just stops dead in the street and says, Kark.
The other thing Tazi notices, Hicks' ship is gone. Let's go ahead and roll initiative just so we have that order set.
Do one.
3-1.
4.
All right. One of the starfighters punches it and gets right up to where you guys are. He's going to fire away. What is the ship's defense?
Ship's defense is 1.
And the silhouette on that is?
4.
4. Okay, their silhouette is 3. So it's just an average check. Okay, he's coming in on your port side, coming from the front, and he fires his twin medium lasers. He hits the ship for 8 points of damage. There is a second ship that has also punched it and pulled away from the other group, but he is firing into the town. He fires into the town, and there's some
explosions. KO, do you see that? We need to get the ones that are shooting the town first.
You corking son of a Rancor. All
right, first PC.
I'm going to shoot at them.
Okay, so hold on. They do have a defense of 1. So 1 black die and then 2 purples.
Yep. All right, I'm also going to true aim because true aim is life. Five successes and 2 threats.
Okay. What's the base damage?
Base damage on the...
It's 6 heavy with a crit 2.
Yep, 6. Thank you. 6 with a crit 2.
That's 11 points of damage.
How many threats?
2.
Okay. So that ship, it made its little passing run
as
it was kind of coming back up. You fire and you blow it out of the sky. And you see kind of the shrapnel of the pieces come falling onto the town. Okay. Next PC.
I'll take it. Okay. This was kind of going at the same time because Krell lifted the ship up and kind of stood it on its tail so KO could get his shots. And she's just going to punch it, going from 1 to max speed of 3. We take 2 points of strain.
Okay.
Quick cut to the gunnery pod, and you see KO make what appears to be some kind of religious sign with his hands.
Oh, no. Oh.
So that's my maneuver, and I am going to roll piloting to gain the advantage.
What is the speed of the ship?
Now it's 3.
Okay.
So the first 2 came in for their shots. Corell kind of stands the ship on its tail, punches it into the sky, brings it down around. I'm going to spend 2 ship strain to do another maneuver and do evasive maneuvers. And then I will do, for my action, gain the advantage.
Okay, so your speed is 3.
Yep. What is the difficulty is based on relative speeds.
Their speed is a 5, so you're at a 4.
And I'm going to spend a light side point.
Okay.
To upgrade one of my dice. So I got 4 successes and 5 threats. So, yeah, Karel literally stands the ship on his tail, blasts for the sky, and then just starts doing this spinning maneuver where she rotates the ship around its horizontal axis.
Okay.
As she goes up and then kind of goes up to about 10,000 feet and then brings the ship around and aims it straight down so KO has a perfect shot on the ships that are attacking the city. But in doing so, you can hear the ship just whining, groaning, and like the stressors of metal almost tearing.
So the ship takes
a little bit of strain.
Yeah. It is their turn. So one of them, he is using his piloting to catch up to you. He is going to fire at you guys.
We have evasive maneuvers.
Which just upgrades difficulty by 1, right?
Upgrades the difficulty of attacks on the ship by 1, yes.
Okay.
And we have range defense too, remember?
Yeah, I got that in. So this ship fires a missile at you guys, and it just skims along your starboard side. And then KO can see it as it's turning around and coming back at you guys. I missed with 4 advantages. So the last ship, he kicks in his engines. He catches up. He is coming from the port side at you guys. He is going to fire his twin guns. He comes up and he fires, and there's these shots that go all around you. And then his guns just stop firing. Next PC. I think it makes sense for A1 to go. A1's co-piloting, so he's looking at the sensors. He sees that missile that's coming back, and he is going to try to spoof the missile. He has to make an average computer's check. He is successful at spoofing the missile. What that does is it upgrades the difficulty of that spoofed missile to hit you guys. So when that missile gets its chance, it will be upgraded. Tazi, would you like to do anything?
As the fighter explodes overhead and goes driving into the ground, obviously there's some chaos all around, missiles and the town's getting chewed up. Tazi turns to Isla and says, "Does the spaceport have a gun? Do we have any kind of defenses?"
"No. No, there's never been anything. What do we do?"
"Wait a minute. That ship, it's got a concussion missile tube. Flip a light side point for me."
"Okay.
Maybe we can use this. Come on, let's go."
And Tazi grabs her hand and, dragging the tools in one and trying to pull Isla along with the other, heads toward the wreck of the ship.
All right. We're back to the top, so it's one of the ship goes first, and evasive maneuvers goes until your turn, correct?
Yes, until my turn again.
Okay. This one, he had fired previously. He is coming from behind you guys. He's turning around. He's going to try to go over what was the top of your ship and fire along the top. He fires along the top, and your shields successfully deflect the few shots that actually do hit.
Okay. Good.
So at the same time that ship buzzes by, the missile comes in. And even with the upgrade, it does hit. So it hits the back of the ship, doing 6 damage, and it does have breach 4.
So we take all 6.
Yep.
"Not my fault! Not my fault!"
That missile comes in, hits the back of the ship, explodes, kind of punches through your armor, and blows holes in the cargo areas and does some good damage to the back of the ship.
And then there's this image of KO's medical bench and A1's engineering bench both getting sucked towards a hole where the atmosphere is kind of pulling out, and they get wedged in the hole. Doesn't seal it, but you're watching A1's little metals flapping, and one like breaks through the glass and goes out through the window.
No.
And the camera just kind of follows it as it falls towards the ground.
KO. So there's still 3 ships.
I will shoot at the nearest one.
Okay. The one that just zipped by you.
3 successes and 1 advantage.
Okay. What is our total?
It's 9 points of damage. Damage minus
that. Okay. You hit that one pretty hard. You can see a lot of smoke coming out of it and a lot of sparks flying off the back. All right. Next PC.
So Karel kind of pulls the ship up from the dive and ducks in behind one of the ships. And my maneuver is going to be stay on target to make it easier for KO and A1, if he eventually shoots, to get them. And she reaches up, taps a few commands on the computer. I'm going to attempt to boost the shields.
Okay, hard mechanics check. And, you know, there's 5 of these. So let's just upgrade one. So we're taking a dark side and turning it over to a light side point.
Success and advantage.
Okay.
So one zone shield by 1 point. Ship suffers one strain. Lasts for one round. I'm going to negate the strain with my advantage.
Okay. Got it. So there are two black dice to shoot now.
Yep.
All right. It is one of their turns next. So the ship that fired its twin lasers at you last round, that only fired a few and then stopped, it is going to launch its one missile at you. It fires its missile at you, and the missile impacts the front of the ship, and nothing happens. Just dud warhead. And then the last one, it comes in again on the starboard side, coming in from the bottom. It fires its twin lasers, and it got a triumph. And it succeeded. It fires its twin lasers at you, and it hits the ship hard enough it knocks you off course. You can't take any maneuvers and must make a piloting check on your next turn.
Okay.
And it says the difficulty is based on the current speed. Next PC, A1 goes. He's plugged in the computer, and you see him kind of quickly doing some computer stuff. He looks over at Krell. I'm in the one ship systems, and I'm going to turn its shields off and make it so that the ship takes some electronical damage.
Okay, but remember, you have a gun, too. The guns are even more damagey.
Oh, that's usually your job.
Yeah, but I'm a little busy.
Well, yeah, but I mean, normally I do this stuff.
No, you normally don't pilot. Tazi needs us to buy him some time.
I'm co-piloting. This is stuff I do. I jam their enemy.
Right, but I asked you to shoot the rear gun.
Oh, all right.
Because remember, you told me you could shoot the rear gun from here.
Okay, I'll do that next.
Thank you.
Tazi, what do you want
to
do?
As close as he can get to being a full bore run, carrying a toolbox and pulling someone along behind him, he should be able to get to the wreckage of the ship.
Okay.
Within this round. And he kind of drops the toolbox at his feet and runs up to the concussion missile launcher and looks at Isla and says, is there any way we can fire this manually?
Yeah, I think so.
Help me, please help me.
Well, if we disconnect it from the mount and run the power from the ship, then maybe.
Tazi's going to look around and see if there's anything he can use in the wreckage to kind of make this something he could put on his shoulder. Or use his frame to kind of aim, like even if he could had to put a sling on it or something to move it around, because I mean, I'm sure it's heavy.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some pieces of metal and stuff. Between you and her, you can make a mechanics check.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
That's good.
And since she's there, upgrade your mechanics check by one.
Okay. That is two successes and one advantage.
Okay, so yeah, we'll say it'll take you two rounds. And you'll be able to get something worked up. So this and round
I'll
and
take,
next round.
The advantage I'll take is that I'll get a blue die to fire.
Okay. Back to the top. It is their turn. Now your shields are boosted up to two now, correct?
Correct.
All right. He is in front of the ship. He is flipping back around. He is coming right straight at you guys. He fires his twin lasers at you and hits the front of the ship. And he hits right near the cockpit, which throws up some sparks and kind of surprises Krell a little bit. So you'll take a black die on your next action. I had two advantages left over.
All right.
You don't take any damage because it didn't do enough. But
I can shoot him in the face.
Okay. You heard A1 say last turn that he turned off the shields on one of them. So if you want to fire at that one, you can, or there's the other two.
I'll fire at that one.
Okay. So no black die.
All right, and I'm going to use true aim as well. Okay. two successes, and I am going to activate a critical hit.
All right, roll percentile.
So that's 8 points of total damage. 81.
Okay. So you hit it, and you hit kind of near the back of the ship, and you see sparks kind of fly, and you hear A1 go, "Hey, nice shot. That's near their power source." And you can see the ship kind of, the power kind of goes out for a sec and then comes back on. And it kind of goes off, comes back on. And you have this kind of momentary flashback. You're like, we've been through this before.
Yes.
It's a power fluctuation. Yes.
Next PC.
That would be Corell. So the last laser shot, like, splashed against the shields right in front of the cockpit. So Corell's eyes are a little dazzled. And the hit we took from the critical She's like struggling against the controls. The spin that we're in is now almost turned into a flat spin, and she's just going to try very hard to pull us out of it. So that would be two successes and a threat. So I'm able to pull us out of the spin and kind of level it back out. So I'm going to do continue stay on target for KO and A1.
Okay. All right. That would mean that's there. All right. So the next ship comes up. It's coming up on your port side, coming up from the bottom. It hits and it does 8 damage.
The Kralitz Fang is visibly like smoking in many sections, and there's actually flame. One of the engines is probably flaming out.
Okay. The last ship, you guys see it peels off of you guys and is heading straight towards the city.
Shoot it! Shoot it! Someone shoot it!
A1 does look. I can't. It's in front of us. I can try to slice his systems again or shoot. What do you want me to do?
Do something!
Shoot it! Shoot it! Shoot it! Shoot it! Someone do something!
So A1's turn it around and I can hit it, but I'll try to slice in and see what I can do. And he slices in. I'm in. I got it. And then he kind of looks at you and goes,
"You got what?"
I turned all its power off.
What?
I have 4 threats left. I'm going to turn one of these dark sides to a light side. That ship crashes into the ground hard near where Tazi and Isla are. And you look over and she's been hit hard by a piece of flying metal and is just laying on the ground.
Hey, a quick update for everybody. We promised we would give away the giant redemption banner behind us, and now we're going to actually record me finding out who wins. The guys are kind of here around me. We're going to figure out who's going. Mike, you want to roll the d20 and see?
No, but I will give you a drum roll. Drum roll, please, gentlemen.
Oh, nat 20.
Nat 20!
Critical. Which means that that goes to Stitcher, and that is Steelman AJ.
Steelman AJ.
We got to figure out who you are, but as soon as we do, we will put this up, and hopefully you'll contact us and prove you are who you are, and we will send you your very own redemption banner.
We will ask you for proof and a social security number. And a bank routing number.
Yes, exactly. But you did win, though.
Congratulations, so. We steal everything you owe!
Yay!
Oh, no. We're giving you a banner!
Yes, you're getting a banner! Yay! We're getting new microphones! Yay! Hey, I got a question from Richard.
Hey.
Oh.
Chris, where does A1 keep his extra medals when he's not wearing them?
They are attached to his workbench. He has them all in little glass cases above his workbench.
It's kind of adorable, actually, now that you said it out loud. I didn't know that. Our Patreon backer for this episode is Angela from friend of the show, Fandible. They have a great podcast, and you should check them out as well. Angela, thank you for supporting us. It really means a lot.
Redemption is played using the Star Wars role-playing game system by Fantasy Flight Games and LucasBooks. If you enjoy Redemption, please reach out to us on social media. Our Facebook and Twitter pages can be found at RedemptionPod. And we have our website as well, redemptionpodcast.com. Review the show for us on iTunes, Stitcher, or other podcasting applications you may use. This does help people locate the podcast, and it does spread the word for us so more people can hear our thrilling story. If you're enjoying the story that Redemption tells and would like to offer us some support, we do have a Patreon page at patreon.com/redemption. All funds collected from the page are used to help us upgrade our equipment and make sure we're telling the best story we can with the best quality equipment that we can. Thank you very much.